Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Murder in the Queen's Arms by Aaron Elkins. Narrated by Joel Richards. 1. Edward Hall Waddington, OBE, MA, PhD, FSA, ran his hand nervously over a pink and liver-spotted pate, absently brushing back a lock of hair that had been gone for almost 40 years. "Oh, dear," he said in tremulous distress. His white eyebrows knitted atop a beaky, jutting nose that was at odds with an otherwise frail and retiring face. "My word, Professor Oliver, only an hour, but there's so very much to see." His words trailed sorrowfully off, and the hand moved from his brow to take up the burden of his message, gesturing vaguely at the dusty glass cases and musty corridors that lay beyond the door of his tiny, cluttered office. "I wish I had time to see everything in the museum, sir," Gideon Oliver said courteously. He sat, more than a little cramped, in a small side chair at the elderly archaeologist's desk, his shoulders too wide for the narrow space between desk and wall, his long legs twisted out of the way off to the side. "Actually, Dorchester wasn't on our itinerary at all, but I couldn't imagine being in England without paying my respects." "To be sure, to be sure," Professor Hall Waddington said, pink cheeks showing his pleasure. "And to Pummy as well, no doubt?" The eyebrows went up, and cheerful blue eyes twinkled out from under them. "Pummy too," Gideon said, smiling. The prized possession of the Greater Dorchester Museum of History and Archaeology was a 6-by-8-inch piece of curving, darkened bone, most of the back of a 30,000-year-old human skull that had been unearthed by a World War II bombing at nearby Poundbury, and fortunately recognized for what it was by the amateur but competent Greater Dorchester Historical and Archaeological Society. Poundbury Man was of considerable anthropological significance because Britain, so rich in archaeological sites, was notably lacking an actual skeletal remnants of ancient man. From the first, the fragment had affectionately and quite naturally been dubbed Pummy. With typical English disdain for the middle parts of names, Poundbury is pronounced Pumry. It was extraordinary to have such an object housed in a provincial museum run by an amateur antiquarian society, but Professor Hall Waddington had lent his considerable weight to the society's claims when the find had been made. In 1944, he had been one of England's foremost archaeologists, a colleague of Graham Clark, V. Gordon Child, and Leonard Woolley, and Dorchester had gotten to keep its find. When the professor had retired from the British Museum more than 30 years later, after the death of his wife, the society had timidly invited him to become curator of the museum. He had accepted with gratitude, and the collection had become the love of his life. "Well, let's go and see him, shall we?" he said, rising with unexpected sprightliness. "We'll follow the well-worn path to his case. Old fellow gets quite a lot of attention, you know. You are the second American to pay him a visit this week, as a matter of fact." "Oh, another anthropologist? Someone I might know?" "No, no, I doubt it. I didn't get his name. Student, from the look of him. Spent most of the morning slouching about." When they walked from the little office into the nearly deserted exhibit rooms, Gideon saw that the museum wasn't dusty at all, and certainly not musty. It only looked as if it should be, a hodgepodge of waist-high glass cases, with row upon dull-looking gray row of projectile points and stone flakes, each one painstakingly identified and catalogued on its own typewritten card. Improbable and seemingly inapposite objects stood in dark corners, leaned against the walls, and even lay unprotected on worn tables of dark wood. It was, Gideon admitted to himself, a look that he liked, for he was not a champion of the museum as entertainment center, with buttons to push, levers to pull, and slick, non-explanatory placards. They taught little, and they attracted hordes of marginally interested kids who jumped from contrivance to contrivance, comprehending nothing worth knowing. No, this was the way a museum ought to look, as old-fashioned as it was. He even liked the smell, a chalky, flinty mixture of old worked stone and floor polish.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?